invite you to come and join me as we take a pause in our busy day and pursue soul care, as we allow our bodies to slow down and our minds to be renewed with goodness, truth, and hope. This is PRN. Pause, renew, next. Hello, friends. Welcome. However you're arriving here today, know that I'm so glad that you're here. And I am very pumped to talk about the topic that we're going to be talking about today and over the coming few weeks. It's something that I think is important in the church as well as in the mental health arena. But before we jump into today's reflection episode, let's do a slowdown and centering activity to help us come into the present moment. We're going to do a deep breathing exercise, but if you have your hands available, we're going to use them as well. And as we inhale, we're going to lay our hands out facing upward, fingers out, like in a receiving gesture. Inhale, palms up. And then on the exhale, we're going to flip our hands over, like a release. Exhale and let go of whatever you need to let go of. Inhale, palms up. And exhale, palms down. Release whatever you need to release. Inhale, palms up. And exhale, letting go of whatever you need to let go of. Let's do that one more time. Inhale, palms up. And exhale. Really focus on that exhale, letting go of whatever you need to let go of. And as always, feel free to do as many of those as you need to. Well, friends, I told you I was excited about this episode, and I am. You know, my tagline is that this is a podcast about soul care, scripture, and stories of faith, and I stand by that. But if I were going to come up with another tagline, it would probably be something like, this podcast is the intersection of faith and mental health. And that's where we find ourselves in this episode and in the coming episodes. Our theme this year is being a human in process. And we all know that being a human in process, if we live very long, is messy. And there is not a section of our lives that is not affected by that. All the layers of the self are in process. Our relationships, our mind, the things we think about, the things we feel, our spirit man, so our relationship with God and our faith life, all the areas of ourselves, including our bodies, all of it is messy sometimes. When we're growing and changing and moving, some of those things are in our control and some of them are not, because seasons of life can completely change from one day, from one year to the next. And one of the things that I love about the Psalms, as I've told you many times on this podcast, is how real the psalmist is about his experience. He doesn't hold back. We talked about that in our attachment series. He has a very secure relationship with the Lord, it seems. David seemed like he could always lay it out before the Lord very honestly. And today and in the coming few weeks, we're going to be exploring even further into the Psalms. Now, if you listened to this podcast last year, our theme was telling our stories, and I had one reflection episode called When Pain Enters Your Story. And in that episode, I talked about this idea that Walter Brueggemann writes about. He's an American theologian. He's very renowned about his work in the Old Testament, and he did a lot of work around the Psalms. And he writes about this idea of being able to kind of categorize the Psalms into three sections: Psalms of orientation, Psalms of disorientation, and Psalms of new orientation. Now, last year I talked about that in a way I would consider like the baby pool. Like we stuck our feet in, we played around for a minute, we splashed in it, we thought about it. And now, this year, in this episode, in the coming three, we're going to wade out further. We're going to go into the adult pool and stick our whole bodies in and really swim around for a little bit in it. Experience it, think about it, apply it to our lives, to our churches, to our worship, to our prayer, and see what we find when it comes to our own experience. For the purpose of this podcast, I'm going to assume that you didn't hear the episode last year, and I'm just going to start all the way back at the beginning. If you did listen, it was probably a long time ago anyway, and we could all use a refresher, right? So I do want to be clear that I don't know that every psalm fits into one of these three categories, but it's a helpful framework for looking at the psalms, looking at prayer and worship, community and personally, and thinking about that framework and what that looks like in the seasons of life. So let's talk about each of those categories. First, we'll start with Psalms of Orientation. Psalms of Orientation are about thanksgiving. They're about creation. They're about honoring the Lord. They're about recognizing that life has order, that it has meaning, that it's predictable. It evokes gratitude for the blessings that we're given. It articulates joy, goodness, coherence, and the reliability of God, His law, and His creation. There are a lot of psalms like that. You can probably think of a few right now. Then there are psalms of disorientation. In a psalm of disorientation, something has changed. The psalmist is not the person that they once were. Something inside or outside of themselves has shifted so dramatically that now life is in disarray. These are complaint psalms. They're lament psalms. They're crying out, "How long, O Lord?" kind of psalms. Of like, where have you gone? Things are not like what I expected. Some of these are even imprecatory psalms. And by that, I mean angry, calling down curses or justice on our enemies kinds of psalms. Life is no longer oriented. It is disoriented. And then there's the third kind of psalm. And that psalm is a psalm of new orientation. From the outlook, it might look a lot like the original ones of orientation. But in these, something has shifted. Yes, we're thankful. There's a lot of gratitude. But there's also a knowledge of where I was versus where I am now. Of like something has come in and shifted me back from disorientation into orientation. Something has changed. I've been saved in some way. There's no longer calamity. I can see where the Lord took my feet out of the miry pit and put them onto a firm rock where I'm safe again. I can see that He is my refuge. Something has intervened in such a way that the writer can now see things differently looking back. And that, in a nutshell, are Psalms of Orientation, Disorientation, and New Orientation. So now let's look a little more deeply at those three. And why I think that might be important for us to talk about when it comes to being a human in process. It's important to note that these are not developmental changes that happen through the lifespan. These are situational, these are circumstantial. Something has shifted us from a way of orientation, from a way of seeing the world as safe and good, that there's order, that everything will turn out the way that it's supposed to a season of disorientation where nothing looks like what it's supposed to anymore. The things that we thought were true, now we're not so sure of. Maybe we're angry, maybe we're grieving, some kind of trauma has happened, where no longer does it feel like the world is safe and good and true and right, and we're wondering where God is in the midst of it and why He's not showing up in the way that we expect Him to. And then something shifts again, and we find ourselves in new orientation. Somehow, in the midst of it, the Lord has reached in and shifted something, either in our situation, as sometimes happens, right? Like life works back out into a place where we are actually safe again, where everything is ordered again, or inside of us. And that happened, I think, in Job as well. Like his situation began to work out again. But before that, God showed up and spoke to him, and it changed everything. We're not alone in the midst of the disorientation. That's what we see by looking at those new orientation psalms. As he looks back, the psalmist sees the Lord was with him the whole time. That's the important part for us to think about. You know, here in the United States, we think of a lot of things, especially our faith journey, as being an individual and personal thing, like a personal relationship with God. And I find in the psalms that we can certainly see that in a personal way. But there's also a way of thinking about the whole community. You'll notice that Israel is talked about a lot, like the whole Jewish community. So this was not just a personal issue that was happening. Sometimes it was the whole community was shifted from orientation to disorientation and back into new orientation. And that's important, I think, for us to think about when it comes to worship and prayer, is that sometimes, personally, we're being shifted from one place to the next place to the next place. And maybe the people around us are not. Maybe they're in a different place. But sometimes as a community, we're also shifting from one to the next to the next. If it's a communal event that has happened, if it's a communal grief that we're going through, if it's a problem that's happened in our country or in our state or in our city, you know, I'll just encourage you to notice that in most churches, the songs that are sung are songs of orientation. A lot of happy songs, a lot of grateful songs, a lot of gratitude songs, a lot of songs about how good God is and how he's with us all the time. And I doubt that you hear a lot of songs about disorientation in modern churches. But interestingly, there are a lot of psalms that are psalms of disorientation. I would say if you think about times that you have maybe sung songs like that, it may have been at a funeral, or it may have been at a place where everybody was coming together to grieve something or to offer support to one another. I also think about marginalized people groups, the African American church. You know, they've sung spirituals for centuries now that probably are along the lines of disorientation songs and new orientation songs. And I do think our churches often do sing about new orientation, like looking back at where God was, but not a lot in the middle. Why is it hard for us to go to that middle place? None of us want to be there, do we? It's really hard. And I'm just so thankful for the way that God allowed David and other psalmists to model for us, that when we're in the midst of it, we must voice it. That's part of experiential learning. That's part of being with a secure attachment, is being able to say out loud where we are, ask for help, explain how deep and dark it actually feels, and that there's something about being able to be raw about that that allows us to be able to acknowledge it and move forward. I think about what Claudia said on last week's podcast. She said, "Weeping is a whole prayer." Yes, I think that is a disorientation song. It totally is. And the Holy Spirit meets us in that place, in that dark place. And sometimes maybe we need to do that by ourselves. And sometimes maybe we need to do that in community. That might be a thing that we need to pay more attention to in our modern day churches, is being able to notice that everything isn't about orientation and new orientation, that there's a place for disorientation as well in our walk of faith. One more thing I would want to notice about the Psalms, you know, they're written in the Old Testament before Jesus came. And yet, as we look back, there's a lot about the gospel in that set of three. Walter Brueggemann says, "The moves of orientation to disorientation to new orientation are for Christians most clearly played out in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. I find Philippians 2:5-11 a helpful articulation of this movement. It can, without any forcing, be correlated. Orientation, though he was in the form of God. Disorientation, he emptied himself. New orientation, therefore God has highly exalted him." So if we think about the lives of the disciples and the early apostles, they were probably surprised by Christ, but they felt safe. They felt like everything was ordered, like it had a reason and a purpose. And then he suffered and died, and there was disorientation, songs of disarray, of mourning. Then he was resurrected, and there's new orientation, songs of surprising new life, hymns and songs of thanksgiving. And isn't that the way of the gospel, that God meets us in each and every one of those seasons, and he shows up in each and every one of those seasons in a different way? Just like I said when I talked about the five grief stages, this is not a one and done kind of thing. If you're a Christian very long and you don't repress your hard things, but you actually move through from orientation to disorientation and back into new orientation. It's probably not just going to be a one-time thing. In fact, Walter Brueggemann says, today's new orientation will be tomorrow's orientation. Meaning the way that God showed up and provided new life for me in the midst of my disorientation becomes normal and rote to me again in such a way that the world goes back to feeling ordered and fine and normal and good until the next moment of disorientation comes and we do it again. And God reaches into the midst of it and shifts something, our circumstances, or more so, he gets into the pit with us and speaks to us in the middle of it. He shows up and brings life in some way, shape, or form, and we can go back to new orientation. I think this is a hard teaching and something that maybe is difficult in the church for reasons that Walter Brueggemann talks about in his book. He says the dominant ideology of our culture is committed to continuity and success and to the avoidance of pain, hurt, and loss. The dominant culture is also resistant to genuine newness and real surprise. It's curious but true that surprise is as unwelcome as is loss, and our culture is organized to prevent the experience of both. This means that when we practice either a move into disorientation or into new orientation, we engage in countercultural activity, which by some will be perceived as subversive. In other words, in your disorientation, others may not get it. They may be speaking to you songs of orientation. But God is good, trying to give you reasons why the world is ordered and you don't need to feel out of control and that everything is hard. But no, friend, if the psalmist could feel that, and God gave us that example, if Job could feel that, if there's a whole book called Lamentations for the country of Israel who felt that, it's okay for you to also feel that. And Christ will meet you right there in that place. And you can sing songs about it if you need to. And you can worship and you can pray with abandon, with whatever expression you need to use in that place as well. In your anger, in your trauma, in your grief. And as you find yourself moving back into new orientation, you may see things differently. You may have new compassion for people who are disoriented themselves, or for people who have not yet reached that place, and have compassion for them and their understanding of the world and their understanding of faith. So everything that I said today was not necessarily all written about by Walter Brueggemann. I am putting my own personal spin from a counseling perspective on pieces of this information. And if you find it to be helpful, I hope that you'll join me over the coming 3 weeks. We're going to spend one podcast episode in each of those kinds of psalms and do a scripture meditation in each of those frameworks. So next week, we'll do a psalm of orientation, and the following week, we'll talk about disorientation and then spend some time meditating on a disorientation psalm. And then lastly, we'll spend some time talking about new orientation, and then we'll focus and meditate on one of those scriptures as well. So I hope that you'll join me for that next week. Well, that is all for today's podcast episode. Before we end, I'd love to leave you with a benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I'm Jenny Detweiler with PRN. Pause, renew, next. May you be encouraged on your journey with Jesus.